How y'all doing tonight? Yeah, can we get the house lights up just a little bit? So, how you doing? The spirit of Joey Triviani came upon me. How you doing? Thank you. I thought tonight was cardigan weather, so here I am rocking my cardigan. Hey, tonight I don't want to preach for a long time, but I want to preach on just something that was birthed out of some thoughts over the last couple of weeks. And these thoughts weren't the most, they weren't the best thoughts. Who here gets angry at times? Who here is human? Okay, just double checking. If you don't feel the emotion of anger at times, then you're probably not alive. The thing is, what we do with our anger is important. Sometimes we can get angry over dumb things. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. So, like, just for instance, last week I was driving here to church and I was running a little bit late. Point number one, don't run late. Leave earlier. I know. But I had to go back to get something and then I was just like, oh, why don't I? Anyway, yeah, exactly. So I was running a fraction late for when I wanted to be here. And there was someone driving in front of me. Like, the speed limit along that Cambridge Road area is 60 kilometres. They were doing 35. And I was just like, what are you doing? It's like, why are you doing 25 kilometres below the speed limit in a 60 zone? Like, I can semi-understand it if it's in a 110 zone and they're a P-plater. Actually, you should do that. If you're a P-plater in a 110 zone, make sure you only drive at, what's the limit, 100? I thought it was 100. 100. Oh, bang. The teacher's been corrected. you know, make sure you abide. I'm not saying abide by law. I think it's actually illegal to drive that slow under the speed limit. Anyway, but we can get so frustrated about dumb things like that, like people driving so slowly under the speed limit, or, you know, just some of the dumb things that people post up on Facebook at times. I'm just like, oh my gosh, why are you doing that? I'm so annoyed. Even just in the last, like I said, I was feeling all these emotions and I was just like, you know what? What does God say about my emotions and my anger and my frustration towards this and towards that? And it just got me thinking, like, anger isn't necessarily a bad emotion. It's what we do with our anger. Whether we utilize it in a way that actually leads us towards more Christ-like behavior and more loving behavior, or if it leads us to a place where we're actually operating out of carnality in the flesh. Like I said, for you, you might get angry at different things or because of different things. I'm not here to go through a giant chart of what's important to be angry about and what's not important to be angry about. I just want to talk tonight about some ways of actually directing it in a healthy way. And I think this is beneficial for anyone, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, because if you're human and alive, this is an emotion you're going to deal with at times. So it's how we're going to deal with it that is important. So before I get into it, how about we pray? And then we'll see what the word says. God, we just thank you so much that you speak into so many different areas of life. And we ask that your word would speak clarity into this area of our life, so that we can be realigned, readjusted, shift our perspective, shift our hearts, so that when we go through the next thing that annoys us, we don't respond in a way that's carnal, but we respond in a way that's more Christ-like. We thank you so much that you are taking us from glory to glory, that we haven't arrived yet, God, but you are continuing to move in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now, Before I talk about, I've got three chunks of scripture or three passages of scripture and three simple points to go with these three chunks of scripture. I want to encourage you before we look at these three passages. These passages are more, they're written towards Christians with how to respond to other Christians. So the context is more framed in a way that if we're actually choosing to be Christian and be in the body of Christ, here's some ways that we should respond. So I was getting annoyed with some people that aren't part of the church during the week. People that are saying things, you know, there's always, you know, everyone would have a different opinion on the Dark Mofo Festival and stuff going on. And if you post up something on social media, let me encourage you, number one, that's a dumb place to sometimes post thoughts. Over the years, I've had to take down a few things just because I've been like, this is not beneficial in any way, shape or form. But we can't expect people that aren't in Christ to respond in a Christ-like manner. Yes. So we should not be surprised when the world becomes antagonistic and begins to try to troll you. For those people that don't know what the word troll means on social media terms, Grant Mullen. There we go. So when they start to do that, I don't know, when they start to just say things to keep you going and ranting and raving, we can't expect anything less because the world is the world. But so my first little thought before I press into these other passages of Scripture is, this is something that I heard James McPherson once say on a podcast of his. He said, don't wrestle pigs. Don't wrestle pigs. Because the thing is, a pig is muddy, but a pig likes being muddy. So you can get into the mud with the pig and try to think that if I wrestle it the right way, it will change. But no, it's still a pig. There's some arguments you should not enter. Don't wrestle pigs. It says in Proverbs 26 verse 4, don't answer the foolish arguments of a fool, or you'll become as foolish as they are. Don't get in the mud because you will get muddy too. I want to encourage you. There's some arguments that just aren't worth having. And it takes wisdom and discernment to go, is this actually beneficial for my life and the person I'm arguing with? Or is it just wasting both our times? So that's my first, that wasn't one of my points, but that was just a point I wanted to preface the other ones with. Don't wrestle pigs. Turn to the person next to you and tell them not to wrestle pigs. Pig wrestling. One of our men's events in the not-so-distant future, I think, should be pig wrestling. And we can just talk about this. Who would be up for some pig wrestling? Would anyone actually? Okay, we're going to have a youth event. It's called our Ignite Youth Camp. And actually, is it illegal to... Is it cruelty against animals? Yeah. We are not... Yeah. Slather them in oil, and then you've got to try to... Anyway, I think we're getting off time. This is not a youth camp meeting at the moment. This is a sermon. All right, so don't wrestle pigs. We all understand that. Sweet. Number two. Number one. That was point five. This is one. So now looking at the context of the body of Christ, the reality is we will get annoyed with one another. I've been a Christian and involved in church life for about 11 and a bit years, and now there's children charging into the auditorium. It's Lonnie! Wow! So exciting. Yeah, they escaped. They escaped out of prison break. Children, yeah, they heard pig wrestling and they were like, I want to see some of this pig wrestling. I wanted to come in here. So looking at the context now of the church and the body of Christ, like I said, I've been involved in church life for about 11 years now, and I've been upset by people on the journey. And I think anyone that's in a relationship with anyone will get upset with one another on the journey. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, sweet. It's not just me. It's not just me that sometimes gets upset. Offense is an instant, but offended is a decision. We will at times do something that will show offense to one another. And a lot of the time it probably isn't even intentional. But offended is actually our decision on how we process what has happened. And over the years, there's been times where I've had to continually sort and work through something that's happened to me, something that someone has said, that half the time it wasn't even done in a malicious way. It was just the way that I received it. And let's just look at this passage of Scripture. Matthew 5, 21 to 26. Point number one is choose to settle. Choose to settle. We've got three choices tonight. The first one is to choose to settle. So Matthew 5, 21 to 26 says this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, R-A-C-A, is answerable to the court. This was like an expression of anger and, ah, you fool, you frustrated. Ah, is answerable to judgment, answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire, of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering a gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother or sister, I just want you to quickly see here in this passage of scripture so far. Twice Jesus has talked about the person that we've upset and frustrated as brother or sister. Context. Body of Christ. Brother or sister. Brother or sister. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly. Choose to settle with your adversary who is taking you to court. Isn't it amazing that it's changed now from brother or sister to adversary? You know, sometimes if we don't settle the matter quickly, people that we once considered near and dear can all of a sudden end up being an adversary. An adversary. You know, we run a strength program at Clarence High School, and I love it. And there's one session that we do where we talk about relationships, and we talk about marriage. And we talk to these kids and say, hey, look, who here wants to get married one day or be in a long-term committed relationship with someone they love? And pretty much everyone at the age of 14 puts up their hand saying that they want to be in a long-term relationship with someone that they love, that they are loved in turn. We then say to them, well, how many of you want to be like the statistics in most of Australia and actually then divorce or separate and have this real bad, unhealthy tension between the two of you for the rest of your life when that happens? And everyone puts their hand down. It's amazing how we can go from brother or sister or husband and wife to a place of such division and separation when something isn't settled quickly. And we could spend hours talking about different things that could be settled in your life, someone else's life, this relationship, that relationship. And I know this might seem like a bigger generalization than anything, because some relationships are hard to settle quickly, especially if they've been in a bad situation for a long season. It's like if you've got a... Yeah, I'm not going to go into examples here. You know them. And I'm not doing this message to try to highlight different examples of that. But what I want to encourage you, that if there's someone that you are close to at this season in life, or there is someone that is a brother or sister in Christ, let's make sure we actually deal with things quickly, rather than allowing them to fester in an unhealthy way. Settle matters quickly. Verse 25, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So point number one, when we're looking at this emotion of anger and how to deal with offense, is to settle matters quickly. Turn to the person next to you and tell them to settle it. Settle it. See, it's pretty frustrating when things aren't settled quickly. Has anyone ever bought a house and it's just been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back, or tried to sell a house and the settlement date just keeps on moving? It sucks. It really does. When I was buying my house for Rose Bay, which I'm so blessed, praise Jesus, I'm so glad that I'm just living nice and close to here and still being late for church. but the process of settlement kept on getting pushed back and pushed back. And in that process that kept on getting pushed back, I just I end up feeling more stressed, more tension, more anxiousness, more uneasiness because the settlement date kept on moving. And I want to encourage you in the same way. When we upset one another, which you will because you're human and you're not perfect. You are human and you're not perfect. You're not a unicorn. You're a human. We're not perfect. And if two imperfect people rub shoulders with one another or hang out with one another long enough, we're bound to upset one another at some stage. So the question is not if we will be upset or offended or annoyed with one another. It's when, and then it's what we actually do with it. And I'm telling you that the Bible, this is Jesus teaching, this isn't just the ideas of Dan. The Bible tells us we should settle matters quickly. Settle it. All right, number two. Bless you. Bless you again. Bless you again. That's really awesome because the second point is choose to bless. Choose to bless. The first one is choose. Thank you for that segue, Pastor Alex. The sneeze way. Sneeze way. I love it. In 1 Peter 3:8 to 17, I love this. In 1 Peter 3:8 to 17, just before that, it talks about, like, this is Peter's advice on wives, and he teaches them how wives should be in a relationship. Then he teaches men and says, men, this is how you should be in a relationship. And then he says to all Christians, I love this, it says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? And even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience that those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. At the very start, it talks about how it sort of focuses more on our relationship with one another, and then it just talks about in general, like this generalization of the way we live our life, people in the world will then see the goodness of it. But at the start, it talks about, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Repay evil with blessing. Choose to bless. Number one. What was number one? Well done. Choose to settle. Number two is choose to bless. Choose to bless. Tell you what, one of the best things that I've done in moments where I've been really upset and frustrated with people is to bless them. I honestly believe that blessing breaks bitterness. I had someone that owed me a fair bit of money. And by a fair bit of money, I mean more than a few grand. And instead, I actually found in my own spirit, if I was just thinking about, I want this back from them, like this person was a Christian as well, that in that moment where it became self-centered, and you know, this isn't a sermon talking about wisdom of who you should give or what you should give to. You know, be wise in what you give and how you give. But I'd positioned myself in a place where I'd chosen to be generous. But then all of a sudden, my spirit started to become begrudging. Maybe some of you have some like stories like that. But I know that it's not healthy for me to become begrudging and bitter towards people, because that's not what Christ has called me to be. So I chose to put into practice this principle. and blessed him and said, look, you don't owe me anything anymore. Actually, I want to take you out for dinner. I blessed him even more. And for me, that the act of doing that actually helped break the bitterness and the begrudging spirit that was being, that was growing in me. And I'm sharing this to say, I don't know what anyone's going through here, but what I do know is at some stage, you will probably become begrudging and bitter towards someone because of a dumb thing that someone's done or someone's taken advantage of you or whatever. And I'm trying to arm you with a tool that has worked for me. Blessing them broke the bitterness and the begrudging spirit that was in me. So number one, choose to settle. Number two, choose to bless. That was Peter's instructions to us. Number three, choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. Who's seen that movie, The Shack? Yeah? Who's read the book, The Shack? What's better? The book? True, true. The book's always better. But in The Shack, it... Can I spoiler alert? Or no? You should have been at youth the week that we showed it. But in the movie The Shack, I'm not gonna drop anything too full on. But something atrocious happens to this man, and on the process of him finding healing, he goes on a journey. And on the journey, the father, God represented as the father in this movie, encourages him to choose to forgive. And the first time he does it, he's like, I forgive this person. And he's just like, I still feel the pain. I still feel the hurt. I still feel the anger. You know, a lot of the time, it's not just a one-off, oh, I'm going to say sorry, that actually brings the healing. It's an ongoing choice to forgive, to continually forgive. When that emotion starts to rise up again, go, no, I'm not governed by my feelings, I'm governed by faith. And if God has said this is how I should action in response to this, then I'm going to trust by faith that his ways are higher, that his ways are smarter, his ways are wiser, his ways are the ways that I should be walking in this circumstance and situation. I'm not condoning being a terrible human. Seriously, if you're convicted because you've done some dumb things that have hurt people, don't do that. But what I'm saying, if we are on the receiving end of that, choosing to live in a cage of offense isn't actually beneficial for anyone. Instead, God wants to set us free. Set us free by choosing to forgive. By choosing to forgive. And where I get this concept, it's not really a concept of forgiveness, or this point, is from Luke 22, 33 to 34. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. You know, you can read that passage of Scripture and then just keep on going into the next part. But let's just focus on that one little statement. They crucified him there. Like I said, you can read that and just keep on reading. We all know, or most of us here I'm sure would know, and if you don't know, I'll help explain it for you. Crucifixion was probably the most torturous death you could have been given under Roman rule. To be whipped 40 times, to be have beard, bits of his beard ripped out, a crown of thorn rammed on his head, then forced to carry a heavy wooden cross to a place where they drove nails through his hands and feet. To then die of the process of it, you'd end up suffocating under the weight and under just the pain. It was an excruciating death. So when we read this, that they took him to a place called the Skull and they crucified him there along with the criminals. Just think that through. This is Jesus. He'd done nothing wrong. Yet he'd been beaten, bruised, pierced, tortured. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. they do not know what they are doing. Sometimes we can think to ourselves, well, they know what they're doing. I don't want to forgive them. You know, I think Jesus could have, you know, if anyone could have said, hey, they know what they're doing. They've pinned my arm down and then driving a nail through my wrist. I think they know what they're doing. Yet Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, showed us that the best response, even when people do something terrible towards us, isn't to repay it with insult, isn't to repay it with you know, he had the power, if he truly wanted to call down angels and send all those guys to hell. Instead of bringing the pain caused on us to then pour pain back towards them, he chose to forgive. He chose to forgive. So when someone in the body of Christ, or in this situation, it was people that weren't even his followers, chose to do something atrocious towards him, let me encourage you, choose to forgive. Because forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness sets you free. If you choose to condemn, you actually end up becoming caged with bitterness, caged with hate, caged with a lens of that person deserves this, or that person is XYZ, insert your word of choice there. But forgiveness actually sets us free and it sets them free. I want to encourage you, next time someone in the body of Christ or someone upsets you or offends you, don't remain in a place of offended, but choose to settle quickly. Don't remain in a place of I'm offended, but choose to bless. Don't remain in a place of offended, but choose to forgive. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they do, I just want to pray a prayer. And let me encourage you that the power of these passages of Scripture is in the application of these passages of Scripture. You can be aware of a concept of what to do when you're offended, but it's actually the process of outliving what God has encouraged us to outlive that actually brings the promise into full fruition. God, I just thank you so much that your word has so much wisdom in it. We thank you that your word, you know, Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment for people that are getting caught up in just dumb arguments on Facebook. Help them not to wrestle pigs. Lord, I pray that for myself. But Jesus, I ask that when I upset my brothers and sisters in Christ, or if someone upsets me, God, help me to put into practice these principles that we find in your word, rather than to be governed by our feelings that can go so up and down on different days, God. So Lord, I thank you that you lead us, that you guide us. Help us to settle. Help us to be people that would choose to come to one another in humility more than have the pride to think that we've got to one up on someone else, God. Help us to bless. God, I thank you that you're choosing to bless actually breaks bitterness over us. Lord, and help us to choose to forgive. Why? Because you chose to forgive us when we were dead in our sin and transgressions. Lord, we thank you so much for this word. We pray that you would do with it as you would desire, that you would bear the fruit that you intended it to. In Jesus' name, amen. How about we stand up for a sec?